Welcome to the Beneath Ceaseless Skies audio fiction podcast, featuring short stories from Beneath Ceaseless Skies online magazine. For literary adventure fantasy by authors such as Marie Brennan, Aliette de Bedard, and Richard Parks, visit our magazine's website at beneath-ceaseless-skies.com. Episode 355, A Good Brother, by Anne Wilkins, from issue number 447 of Beneath Ceaseless Skies. Anne Wilkins is a sleep-deprived New Zealand teacher who writes in her spare time. Her short fiction has appeared or is forthcoming in Clark's World, Apex, The Dark, Flash Fiction Online, Utopia, and more. She has won the June 2024 Elegant Literature Prize, the 2024 Autumn Writers Battle, and the 2023 Cambridge Autumn Festival Short Story Competition. Her love of writing is fueled by copious amounts of coffee, reading, and hope. Anne is supported in her writing journey by her ever-patient husband, two wonderful daughters, and two feline writing assistants. Find her online at AnneWilkinsAuthor.com. Thank you for listening to the Beneath Ceaseless Skies audio fiction podcast, a three-time finalist for the Ignite Awards. In 15 years, we've published 900 stories and 350 podcast episodes. But we need your help so that we can keep paying our authors a professional rate for their great stories, paying our submissions readers an honorarium, and paying our audio narrators. Please visit the BCS Patreon to see how you can support us and get your name listed as a person at arms of BCS, a vizier, or even a royal. Our parent company, Firkin Press, is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, so your donations to BCS through Patreon are tax deductible as allowed by law. You can find it at patreon.com/beneath_ceaseless_skies. Thank you so much for your support. The text of this story is copyright 2025 by Anne Wilkins. The audio recording is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works 3.0 U.S. license. You may copy or share the MP3 so long as you retain the attribution to the author, but you may not sell it and you may not alter it or transcribe it. A Good Brother, by Anne Wilkins. When my sister, Mary, enters the turn-in phase, Mama wrings her hands in despair, and Papa threatens kindness by killing. "It'll be quick," he says, as he lifts the hatchet to her pretty blonde head. His fingers tremble, and his eyes blink, trying to hold back tears. I take Papa's hands and lower the hatchet gently. "No, Papa. She needs to go to the castle." Mary turns her head to the sound of my voice. Her eyes were scooped out when we were trying to stop the spread. There's just emptiness in those sockets now. Her pale skin crawls with black spiderweb-like veins. "John's a good brother," she says. "He'll take me. Won't you, John?" "Course I will, Mary." She doesn't see me crying. She doesn't see anything anymore. Papa fetches a wheelbarrow and whispers to me quietly, "Don't touch her, son. We don't know if it's catching or..." The elders said it wasn't. "Still, we don't know. Just be careful and don't let her feet touch the ground. We don't want her taking root." He hands me his hatchet with a knowing look. "Just in case," he adds. Papa wraps a blanket around Mary and lifts her into the wheelbarrow. He takes care to wash his hands afterward. "You'll be going to a better place," says Mama, "where there's more like you." "A forest of us?" asks my sister. "That's right," says Papa. "And you'll come and visit?" No one says anything, but we all look at each other and are thankful for my sister's blindness. "When you're settled, pet," lies Mama, "then we'll visit." There's nothing left to say. Mama sheds silent tears as I take up the wheelbarrow. My sister sings sweetly as we head towards the castle. She sings of princesses with long flowing hair, brave knights and fearsome dragons, all while the blackness creeps across her skin. The wheelbarrow creaks with every push. "Will I have squirrels and birds?" she asks, her singing coming to a stop mid-verse.
I don't know. I suspect so.
In truth, I've never been close enough. I've only ever seen the castle from a distance. The trees are kept inside.
"I'd like that," she says. "And maybe one day a prince can come and save us all."
She smiles with blackened lips.
"Maybe," I say.
Let her believe in fairy tales a little longer. As we get closer, the land turns dark, the shadows grow longer, and the wind picks up in a ghostly howl. A thick gray fog hugs the castle's stone, and blackened trees climb its walls, trying to escape. Dead twigs poke from arrow slits, and one of the walls is starting to crumble into an oily moat.
"Not long now," I say.
Mary pulls the blanket close to stop her shivering.
"Tell me what it looks like, John."
"Oh, it's right grand," I lie. "Fit for a queen." We cross a rickety drawbridge. The moat water slurps and churns below us as the wind screams. When I reach the castle doors, I thump once.
"I bring a turned one," I announce.
The doors open as if by themselves, and there are the others. They were people once, but now their black roots have spread from their bodies and rooted them to the land, the shape of their faces still embedded in their trunks. Knotted eyes, open mouths, and limbs that twist among and into each other, competing for the light.
"Come, join us," they whisper as one, a blackened forest of men, women, children.
I see my sister's black roots wriggling from her feet, seeking out the earth, her soon-to-be forever home.
"No, John," she cries, trying to pull her feet away. I don't want this. I don't want to be rooted here."
"But the castle is where we take..."
"No, John," she screams.
"In case it spreads..."
"No, don't leave me. Not here."
Her pale face, pocked with its empty eye sockets, pleads. Like that time when a village boy hit her and I walloped him right back. Like when she fell and twisted her ankle and I carried her all the way home on my back. Like the time she was scared of thunder and lightning and I pulled my cloak over her till the worst had passed. I've always watched over her, always been a good brother. And I'm watching over her now. I take out the hatchet. I chop away her black roots as they writhe mid-air before they can touch the ground. They fall and slither away, but more sprout from her feet to take their place. I grab the wheelbarrow, my sister, and do my own turning, away from the cursed castle and its blackened forest. Later, I used my hatchet to scrape a small hole in the ground on the edge of our property, next to our cornfield, hidden from my parents. The elders say the turned are meant to be taken to the castle, keep them contained, but I can't see it doing much harm if she's here, away from the livestock, away from the well, away from us. Even as I'm telling myself this, the elders' warnings ring through my head, but I push them aside. I tip my sister onto the ground from the wheelbarrow, careful not to touch her.
"Where am I, John?"
"Remember that elm tree you used to climb? You're near that." Black lips smile, and her roots wriggle from out of her feet,
finding their way hungrily into the soil. Her arms spread wide and her fingers stretch into branches. One lone black sapling with my sister's face. Perhaps I will grow leaves and a family of thrushes will nest in my branches. Perhaps, I lie. As her poisoned roots take hold, the elm tree droops and sheds several green leaves, the nearest corn stalks start to wither, and the grass around her blackens. It was a mistake to bring her here. I should have known. I did know. You're a good brother, John. Poor Mary. She can't see. She can't see the earth recoil from her touch. She can't see me crying. And she can't see Papa's hatchet that I'm holding. A Good Brother by Anne Wilkins, from issue number 447 of Beneath Ceaseless Skies. For 17 years of literary adventure fantasy by authors such as Amy Ogden, Siobhan Carroll, Carolyn M. Yoakum, Kay Hawksmoor, Kathleen Jennings, and Alex E. Harrow, visit our magazine's website at beneath-ceaseless-skies.com.